हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनश्रण्वन्नोति सीद साधनम् ओम श्री महागणपं कात्यायनाय विद्महे कन्याकुमारी धीमहि तन्नो दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात्। ओम शांति शांति शांति। सर्वरूपमयी देवी सर्वं देवीमयं जगत् अतोहं विश्वरूपां तां नमामि परमेश्वरी। ओम सदाशिवसमारंभां व्यासशंकरमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्तां वंदे गुरुपरंपरां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सहनावतो सहनौ भुनक्तो सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओम भद्रं कन्ये विष्णुनुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरंगै सुष्टुभागं सस्तनुभिः यशेम देवहितै यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति न पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ओम शांति शांति शांतिः। लॉन्ग लॉन्ग अगो Once upon a time, we were doing Mandukya Upanishad and we haven't it completed. We were doing the third section, third chapter of the Mandukya Upanishad called Advaita Prakaranam. And in that Advaita Prakaranam, the chapter, we have completed, I think, 30 verses, 30 karikas of Gaudapadacharya. So, in those 30 verses, the 30 karikas of the Advaita Prakaranam, Gaudapadacharya establishes Advaitam alone Satyam, the non-duality. Non-duality alone is reality, which means non-dual Brahman alone is there. What is there is only non-dual Brahman reality. So what was Brahman, non-dual Brahman. What is non-dual Brahman. What will be non-dual Brahman. So, there's only Brahman. This is the Advaita Darshanam, Advaita Drishti. This is the vision established by Gaudapadacharya ji in the 30 karikas. 31st karika onwards, he presents the cause of samsara and the solution for the removal of samsara. The remedy for samsara is discussing from the 31st verse to the 39th verse. So what is the cause of samsara? Samsara karanam the nivartaka sadhanam cha. See, dvaita darshanam, perception of duality is samsara karanam. You be very careful. Perception of duality itself is not the cause. Taking the perception of duality as the reality is the cause of samsara. So dvaitam is mithya, advaitam satyam. So when Bhagavata Acharya establishes advaitam, what is that? Only advaitam Brahma, non-dual Brahman. He implies advaitam is satyam, advaitam alone is satyam. When you say advaitam, what is that? Only advaitam Brahma, non-dual reality. Then non-dual reality alone is satyam. Reality alone is, that alone is satyam. If at all there is anything else other than non-dual Brahman, that is only mithya. So the duality, the dvaitam, mithya, advaitam, satyam. Advaitam, satyam, dvaitam, mithya. So, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So, this, what is the cause of samsara now? The perception of duality itself is not the cause of samsara. But mistaking that Mithya Dvaitam as Satyam, Mithya Dvaitam to be Satyam is the cause of samsara. Then why do we mistake the mithya dvaitam, mithya duality to be satyam reality? Because of satya advaita darshana abhavat. Because we do not see, we lack the vision of non-dual reality. Because of the lack of vision of the non-dual reality, that is the error of staking the dvaitam to be the reality, which is the cause of samsara. And we say the samsara, so when is this, where there is dvaitam, there is samsara. So yatra yatra dvaita darshanam tatra tatra samsara bhavatyeva. Wherever, whenever, if there is a perception of duality, there is definitely samsara. Once there is, perception of duality, definitely there is the world of objects. In Dvaita Darshanam, of course there is a world of objects. And that then there will be Raga or Dvesha. Isn't it true? There is a world of duality, means there will be Raga Dvesha, likes and dislikes. Raga Dvesha means what? Pravruttihi Nivruttihi. How do you say ragaha is equal to pravrittihi, dveshaha is equal to nivrittihi? What does it mean? If I happen to see something in the objective world, if I like that, either I have liking towards that or I have dislike towards something. If there is a raga, I go after the object. If there is dvesha, if I dislike, I go away from the object. Is it? So going after something is called pravritti. Trying to keep away, going away from something is called nivritti. So if there is a dvaitam, duality, there it is natural for us to have raga dvesha. And raga dvesha means that either we go after or go away. Whether there is a pravritti or there is a nivritti. When there is a pravritti or nivritti, then naturally there will be karma. Going after also implies karma, going away also implies karma. When there is a karma, there will be palam. When there is a palam means maybe punyam or papam. One papam, now we have punya papa means there's a karma palam, and the karma palam means janma. Janma means what again? Bondage. This is how there is samsaraha. This is one way of looking at how dvaitam, you know, is a cause for samsara. Dvaita darshanam, dvaitam is equal to bondage. Dvaite bandhanam. Because otherwise we can say, no, the duality means definitely being subject to time spatial limitations. And be subject to time spatial limitation means definitely there is sense of insecurity, fear of death. Which again is what? We can say samsara. Let we can see, understand samsara in different ways. Anyway, samsarasya karanam dvaita darshanam. If there is perception of duality, there is samsaraha. Now the next question comes, when do we perceive duality? How do we perceive duality? And what is that which enables the perception of duality at all? Now, we already analyzed it very well. Only when the mind is functional. Manayeva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayoho. It is the mind which is the culprit, which alone is the cause of samsara, which is cause of bondage also. How do we say? If the mind is active, the mind is functional, there is duality, then there is samsara. If the mind is inactive, non-functional, then there is no duality. If there is no duality, then there is no samsara. How do you understand? We can understand from our own day-to-day experience also. Whenever we analyze these three states of experience, what happens? In deep sleep state, when the mind is totally passive, inactive, non-functional, the mind is as good as, mind is very much present, but still as good as non-existent, which is because mind is non-functional, passive mind means what? Then there is no jagat, there is no duality. In deep sleep state, there is no dvaitam. Is it true or not? In deep sleep state, there is no duality. You don't need to go for Advaita experience anywhere else. If you fall asleep, there is Advaita Anubhava. That is called Advaita Anubhava, not Jnanam. Okay? That is why we don't need to work very hard for experiencing non-duality. If you want to experience non-duality, you have to fall asleep. But we are not interested in Advaita Anubhava. We are interested in Advaita vision. Got the difference? We want experience. Advaita anubhavaha is what? Mokshaha. Advaita darshanamal is what? Mokshaha. But which is temporary, which is permanent? In Advaita anubhava, you have mokshaha temporary. But Advaita darshanam, you have mokshaha which is permanent. Advaita Anubhava means, that's why in deep sleep state, there's experience of non-duality. Non-dual experience is there, for which all that you need is mind needs to fall asleep. Turn the mind off, there is Advaita Anubhava. And there is no sukham, there is no dukkham, there is no raga, there is no dvesha, there is no pravritti, there is no nivritti. In sleep there is no nivritti, there is no pravritti. There is no raga dvesha. There is no samsara. Sukha dukkha is not there. There is no sukha dukkha. What about in waking state? When the mind is actively functional, and then we have what? Perception of duality. I am here, there is a world, there are things in the world, and there is a perception of duality. I am this. This division comes, and there is samsara. There is sukham, dukkham, there is raga, dvesha, pravritti, nivritti, everything is there. So also in dream state, in dream also, we have dream subject-object division, dream dvaitam is there, then there is a dream sukha-dukkham, dream samsara is there in dream. Therefore, our own day-to-day experience teaches us that if the mind is non-functional, there is Advaita Anubhavaha. If the mind is functional, there is a Dvaita Anubhavaha. Dvaita, when there is experience of duality, there is samsara. There are problems, so-called mundane problems. And then when the mind is non-functional, then there is non-dual experience, then there is no samsara. Temporary freedom from samsara, every day we experience in deep sleep state. Therefore, it is the mind which is the karanam for bandha and moksha, for bondage and freedom. Therefore, if we can tackle this one thing called mind, the entire samsarika problems get really tackled. So, samsara nivrityartham, to free yourself from bondage, you need not do anything with anything. You don't need to work very hard. Just take care of only your mind. The mind alone has to be tackled now. And the tackling of mind, sorting out of this thing is called what now? Technically it is said mano nashaha. And here Gaudapada Acharya ji introduced the term amani bhavaha. This is where I stopped. Remember last time, amani bhavaha or mano nashaha. If you take the word, meaning of this word mano nashaha, literally, it means what? Destruction of the mind. So amani bhavaha means what? Destruction of the mind. But we should be very careful. Does not mean destruction of the mind. So what does it mean by saying in Vedantic parlance, what does it mean by saying destruction of the mind? Mano nashaha armini bhavaha means what? Before we see how to do that, here, if there is a mano nashaha, then there is samsara nashaha. So this destruction of samsara is through the destruction of the mind, if literal meaning. But really speaking, it is like destruction of the pot, where in day-to-day life, destruction of the pot means what? You have to take a pot and hold it like this and leave it, put it down. It will fall down and break. Or you can take a big hammer or a stone and break it, then break into pieces, then it is destruction of the pot. It's a physical destruction of the pot. But in Vedantic language, destruction of the pot means what? Ghata nashaha. means what? You need not physically destroy the pot at all. You can hold the pot, enjoy the pot, make use of the pot, but still you can say what? You see what is the truth of the pot. What this pot is all about, you understand the truth or the substratum, the adhishtanam of the pot being the clay. And having understood the truth of the substance of the pot being the clay, you understand the pot does not enjoy substantiality at all. Why? Because substance is the clay and the pot is a non-substantial nama-rupa, name and form, and which has no independent existence at all. And this non-substantial name and form nama-rupa is the pot, and which is mithya, which is as good as non-existent. And what is there is, in the form of pot, is only the clay. Clay alone is satyam, and the pot is a non-substantial nama-rupa. It is mithya. This understanding of the mithyatvam of the pot, understanding of, you know, this reduction of the pot as mithya, negation of pot, you know, as satyam, but through the understanding of vision of the satyam being the clay. We may not do anything physically. This called is what? We say, through the vision of satyam the clay, reduction or negation of pot as, isn't it? Pot as mithya. Pot as non-substantial. Namarupa is called destruction of the pot. Ghatanashaha. It is not physical destruction. Similarly here, you enjoying the ornaments, wearing the chain, enjoying the chain also, ornaments also, you can say what? There is no chain, there is no bangle, there is only gold. You can say that. Sitting on a very wooden chair, you can say what? Enjoying the very chair, you can say there is no chair, there is only wood. You don't need to do anything, isn't it? Enjoying it, being with that, you can very well say there is no wooden furniture. There is only wood. There is no furniture. So similarly here also, in Vedanta, Jagannashaha, destruction of the world, means what? In fact, you don't need to destroy anything here. You cannot destroy, in fact. You need not destroy. But still, you can say what? Jagat is mithya. What is, you can say, what is, there is only Brahma. The entire Jagat is mithya. Which means, the whole Jagat which you are enjoying, the world of plurality, the world of duality, all these objects which are enjoying, we are interacting, we are transacting, the whole thing, you have to say what is all mithya. Mithya means what? It's a non-substantial nama-rupa prapancha. Just the non-substantial name and form alone, which is as good as non-existent. So this dvaitam being mithya, dvaitam being not satyam, though the jagan being mithya, not satyam, through the vision of the satyam Brahma. We are arriving at the actual substance of this jagat being Brahman. You understand the substance, substantiality is enjoyed only by Brahman, because substance of the substantive jagat is Brahman, which is Atma. the entire jagat is what? Non-substantial namarupa, like the pot. Very difficult to say, but it is a fact. When the example is said, how nice it is. Yes, sitting on the chair, you can very well say what? Sitting there, enjoying the chair, comfort given by the chair, you can say there is no chair, there is only wood. Having the joy of wearing ornaments, you can very well say what? Where are the ornaments? There is only gold. Now, perceiving the world of duality, in seeing everything, you can very well say, where is the jagat? There is no jagat, there is only Brahman. You can say that. This is what? Jagannashaha. Ghatanashavat Jagannashaha. No? Satya darshana dvara mithyatva pradarshanam. Through the vision of the non-dual reality, you negate the duality cognitively. The cognitive negation of the duality, cognitive negation of the universe, the whole being mithya, through the vision of the reality as the self, is what? Destruction of the world in Vedantic parlance. We don't need to physically, nothing can be destroyed here. He negated it. Now, what about the mind? Mind is very much part of the jagat. Isn't it? Objective universe. That is the very difficult thing. Until the mind, you can negate everything as object. Boy, when you come to the mind, it is very difficult. David's question was that, the mind being an object, you can negate everything as easily, as object. You cannot be objective towards your own mind. The most difficult thing. If one can be objective towards one's mind, you have accomplished, really. Very difficult to be objective towards one's own body. So that, but we listen to Vedanta for some time slowly, no, and then objectivity, you can, very difficult. When the pain comes, you can't say, no, body only has pain, you know. I'm very objective towards my pain, don't say that. Very difficult. But still it is, at least you can become objective towards your body after some listening. But becoming objective towards your mind, being able to see the mind as a part of the objective universe, is the most difficult thing. In fact, mind also is what? Part of the objective universe, even though it is subtlest. Therefore, mind also is what? No, part is with the, mind also comes within the realm of the objective universe, the known. Now we say the mind, when you understand, the mind also is what? Mind is non-substantial mithya nama rupa. Mind does not have existence of its own. Mind does not enjoy substantiality of its own. Mind is not a substance at all. You know, Brahman the Atma alone is the substance. The absolute reality obtaining as the self, the Atma, is the what now? Alone is a substance. Mind is non-substantial nama-rupa. Therefore, mind is as good as mithat, non-existent, in fact. So the understanding the mind being mithya, understanding the mind being non-substance, non-substantial nama-rupa, through the understanding of the Satya Atma, is in fact what? Negation of the mind, or resolving the mind. So this resolution of the mind, resolving of the mind, negation of the mind is in fact destruction of the mind. Understand? Physical destruction of the mind, completely destroy the mind for good, it is not possible. So mind cannot be destroyed, one thing. Mind should not be destroyed. Mind need not be destroyed. Okay? Three sentences you have to remember this very clearly. Mind should not be destroyed. Mind cannot be destroyed. Mind need not be destroyed. Let me tell you first of all, why mind should not be destroyed. Of course, you cannot destroy it. If their mind, it is the mind wherein knowledge of anything has to take place, isn't it? Even with the knowledge, if the mind is not there, and how can the knowledge take place? With the knowledge of the world, a knowledge of the self, any knowledge, isn't it? The mind must be there. Mind cannot be destroyed also. Mind need not be destroyed. So the mano nashaha, even though the term nasha is a very strong term implying destruction, if you understand very carefully, that's why in generally also in Vedanta we understand nashaha, the word nashaha, destruction. Whenever we talk about any amount of destruction, that is only looked upon as relative destruction. There is no such a thing called absolute total destruction at all. If at all there is destruction of anything, the destruction is only relative destruction, which is nothing but a change happening on the part of material namarupa. Isn't it? So here nashaha, in this context nashaha means what? There is nothing, neither relative nor absolute. It's only cognitive resolution of the mind as mithya. The negation of the mind as mithya, isn't it? Not satyam, is what we say, the mano nashaha, destruction of the mind, is called amani bhavaha. We are not really destroying it, understanding it. So how to resolve the mind as mithya, how to understand mind being the non-substantial namarupa, which is mithya namarupa, which is as good as non-existent. How to do that, we'll see later on. We're going to see in the following verses. But here, suppose some people think, okay, the mind is a problematic mind. The problematic mind, converting the problematic mind into a non-problematic mind is what? Resolving the mind, destruction of the mind. The mind which perceives the duality and thereby which contributes for the error of taking the duality for reality is the problematic mind. Understand? It is the perception of duality being mistaken for reality is the problem caused by the mind. Therefore, this has to be resolved through the vision of the truth. Suppose enlightened mind or mind with the knowledge is a problem, non-problematic mind, problem-free mind. Mind with the ignorance is what? Mind with the problem, problematic mind. So, ajnana purnam manaha or jnana purnam manaha. Mind with the knowledge, mind with the ignorance. That's all. Mind with ignorance is a problematic mind. Mind with the knowledge is a problem-free mind. So, problem-free mind, converting the problematic mind into a problem-free mind, converting the ignorant mind into, the enlightened mind is what? Resolving the mind. Mano nashaha. Is it clear? This is what is to be understood. Because many people think, oh, it is, till here they're okay. The duality, perception of duality being mistaken for satyam, reality, is a cause of samsara. And the duality, perception of duality itself is due to the mind alone, because function of the mind alone. Therefore, destruction of the mind, when the textbook uses, Ramana Maharishi also uses this term, Mano Nashaha, when he says, Shatupo, Ni Shatupo, he just simply say, literally the mistake, it means mind has to be destroyed. And they also, there are many people who hold this view, wise people do not have minds. Enlightened minded, so they know no minds. Why? Because they resolve the mind. The term resolution is of our term. They say they don't have the mind because they destroyed the minds. They don't have minds anymore. I tell you, it is impossible for any interaction with the mind. There's no such thing called destruction, physical destruction of the mind at all. That's why even in Nirvikalpa Samadhi, Nirvikalpa Samadhi, what we do? Resolve all the thoughts, like in sleep. That is why Nirvikalpa Samadhi is very close to sleep only. Understand? Nirvikalpa Samadhi, Savikalpa Samadhi, Samadhi itself is an Anubhavaha. In Samadhi, you can have Advaita Anubhavaha. Non-dual experience. As long as you have non-dual experience, you can have what? Temporary moksha also. There is no doubt. Temporary moksha. That does not mean that any experience is subject to change. Therefore, deep sleep state, which is an non-dual experience, which will get disturbed. Because ajnanam is still there. In samadhi also, ajnanam is still there. Ignorance is still there. Therefore, savikalpa samadhi, nirvikalpa samadhi, any samadhi experience, any experience where you put all your thoughts to sleep, even if you do something else also, put your thoughts to sleep, that then as long as mind is asleep, thoughts remain resolved, there is non-dual experience, there is no perception of duality, therefore there is no sukha-dukkham, therefore there is a temporary freedom. Isn't it? So that is not actually real freedom from samsara. In fact, if a wise person is there, the wise person even to share his vision, to communicate, to give vision to other person, or to be available for other people, to be compassionate, to be loving, to express his compassion, to express his warmth, to express his care, to express his affection, concern, love, vision, everything, the wise person needs mind. Otherwise, how can he'll become like one big stone, piece of rock? Isn't it? There's no mindless wise person means what? Every rock is a jnani now. We can say because it doesn't cause any problem for you. The rock has no sukha-dukkham. Rock doesn't cause any sukha-dukkham also for you. So every rock is a jnani or what? No. That is why we have to be very careful here. Many people hold that view. Literally they think mind is destroyed. No. It's only purely having a perspective change. Isn't it? Perspective change on the part of the mind is, we say what? Is manonasha. Is it clear? So that we'll see here now. So see the 31st verse now. 31st onwards, he talks with the 30th verse, non-dual Brahman being the Satyam, the reality. Everything else other than Brahman, Jagan Mithya, is established under the 30th Karika. The 31st karika, I've given you the introduction now, you can see that. Mano drishyamidam dvaitam.
Mano drishyamidam dvaitam.
Yat kinchit sacharacharam.
Yat kinchit sacharacharam.
Manaso hyamani bhave.
Manaso hyamani bhave.
Dvaitam naivopalabhyate.
Dvaitam naivopalabhyate.
Mano drishyamidam dvaitam.
Mano drishyamidam dvaitam.
Yat kinchit sacharacharam.
Yat kinchit sacharacharam.
Manaso hyamani bhave.
Manaso hyamani bhave.
Dvaitam naivopalabhyate.
Dvaitam naivopalabhyate.
So what he says in his 31st verse, idam dvaitam, this duality means what? This duality means perception of duality. Idam dvaitam means this perception of duality in the form of yat kinchit sacharacharam. Chara acharam, this world of plurality in the form of sachara acharam. Charam means living, animate beings. Acharam means inanimate beings. So mobile, immobile, animate, inanimate beings. This perception of duality in terms of the world of plurality, consisting of inanimate, inanimate, mobile, immobile beings, the world of plurality, idam dvaitam yat kinchit sacharacharam dvaitam manodrishyam. It is only manodrishyam. It is in the perception of the mind. Manasa drishyam, manasaha drishyam. It's only in mind this duality exists. Where? In perception of the mind. The duality itself is what? Manodrisham. It is the perception of the mind which contributes for what? The existence of the duality of the world of duality. Idam dvaitam manodrisham. It's all in your mind. You turn the mind off, whole jagat disappears. Dvaitam goes. Isn't it? It's like you take a big, now there's a carpet here, and put lots of things on the carpet. And you spread the carpet, everything gets spread out. You fold the carpet, everything gets folded really. Like that here also, it is the mind. Mano idam drishyam sacharacharam jagat, sacharacharam jagat dvaita idam drishyam is what now? Mano drishyam. It's all because of the perception of the mind. Perception of the mind means what? Is it wrong to perceive them? Then should you make the mind non-perceiving mind? No. You can never make the mind a non-perceiver mind, non-perceiving mind. Mind itself, the very perception is what? The function of, it's a part of function of mentation, perceiving, perception. Mind is meant for perceiving, perception only. Because there is a mind, there is perception possible. Because there is perception possible, there is perception of duality. Till then everything is fine. Okay? If there is without the mind, there is no enjoyment. There is no, the world you enjoy, this, the jagat is for what? For your enjoyment. The whole world is for your enjoyment, for your experience. How can enjoy without perceiving it? The enjoyment of the world of this plurality is through the perception, and the mind is the instrument of perception. Therefore, here the mind is meant for perception only. Perception of the world is not the problem. Perception, the part of the mind, also is not the problem. When there is a perception, means there is perceiver, perceived duality. If there is a perception, there is perceiver, perceived dvaitam, division. Duality comes. But what should we understand here? If this perception of duality, which is there during the function of, because of the mind, if it is not mistaken for satyam, and if this perception of duality is understood to be the mithya, there is no problem at all. But perception of the duality is mistaken to be satyam, which is the cause of samsara. Is it clear? That is why. So, idam dvaitam, yatkinchit sacharacharam dvaitam, idam manodrishyam. So, what he says now, manasohi amani bhave. It is all in your mind. Where does this world of plurality, world of duality exist? It's all in your mind. Look at this. Isn't it true? Where does the world exist? Where does the time exist? In your mind. Where does the space exist? In your mind. Where do the divisions exist? In your mind. Where does the plurality exist? In your mind. Where does the duality exist? In your mind. Switch your mind off. Time gone. Space gone. Now divisions gone. Plurality gone. Duality gone. Pain gone. Pleasure gone. Disease gone. Passion gone. My God. Where does the world exist? Is it? In your mind. Mano drishyam. The mind perceives, mind functions, mind perceives, there is world. There is duality. Mind is non-functional, there is no perception, there is no world, there is no duality. Fall asleep, there is no duality. Wake up, there is duality. Fall asleep, there is no duality. Wake up, there is duality. Therefore, what does this idam jagat? Yat kinchit. Whatever it is there in this world of objects, objects of living and non-living things, all this is the perception of the mind. Mano drishyam idam jagate. The very verse, now you should memorize this verse, here it will go. Yat kinchit sa characharam idam drishyam idam dvaitam mano drishyam. What happens is duality. It is this duality, it is perception of duality, which is the cause of samsara. It is not just the perception of duality, but this perception of duality mistaken to be the reality is the cause of samsara. So what should we do now? He says, manaso hyamani bhave. Manasaha hi amani bhave. If the mind, if there is amani bhava of the mind, if the mind is resolved, if the mind is negated, the mind being mithya, non-substantial, namarupa is understood. Amani bhava means what I have already told you. Understanding the mind being not the reality. Understanding mind being the non-substantial mithya namarupa, not the satyam, is amani bhava. So, manasaha amani bhave. Then what happens? Dvaitam na naiva upalabhyate. There will not be Dvaitam at all. There will not be duality anymore. Dvaitam naiva upalabhyate. Upalabhyate means what now? It is will not be available. What will not be available? Duality will not be available. Which means what? Duality will be not be available means the perception of duality will not be there. Oh, perception of duality will not be there? No, no. Perception of duality will continue to be there, but you will not mistake this duality as satyam. You will not overvalue this. Isn't it? You will not mistake this duality to be the reality. Okay, so dvaitam not will not go anywhere. See, what happened is like, when you are a child, also you have been perceiving, from your childhood, you've been perceiving sun rising and sun setting. And we do talk about sunrise timing, sunsetting timing also. There is sunrise and sunset we've been talking about all the time. And every day we are perceiving also sunrise and sunset. There is perception of sunrise and sunset. We have no problem in perceiving sunrise and sunset. But in the heart of your heart, in your buddhi, or do you know, you don't really pay attention to the fact. But if you really have to think about, if you ask, is there real sunrise? You will say what? No. You know very clearly, perceive the sunrise and sunset, but still you do not lose sight of the vision of the fact that there is no such a thing called sunrise and sunset at all. It's only apparent. Even though you walk around all the time, you know the earth is not at all moving. Stationary, isn't it? But you know very well what? Earth keeps rotating, isn't it? In its orbit around the sun, you know that very well. So even though you see that, so you perceive, but still perception of duality will be there even after jnanam. Before jnanam, you have perception of duality. After jnanam also you have what? Perception of duality. Dvaita darshanam will not be removed. Understand? Perception of duality will be there before jnanam, after jnanam also. But what is the difference? Perception is there, perspective change is there. What is the perspective change? No, advaitam satyam, dvaitam mithya. But before jnanam, dvaitam which is perceived is satyam. It is reality. After jnanam, dvaitam which is perceived is not real reality anymore, it is mithya. This perspective change, which happens, isn't it? We actually amani bhav. Only then this is called resolving the duality in the vision of through the vision of the non-dual reality. Is it clear? This is what is said amani bhavaha. Because many people really work very hard sitting. They think people say this also. We meditate, practice meditation. Ultimately to what? To kill the mind. To nullify the mind. It's all the mind is the problem. That is true. Mind is the problem when, if there is ignorance. If we can overnight resolve against mind, then there is no. So meditation will not resolve the ignorance. And Pooja Swamiji says very beautifully, now, in his own language, okay, I never use that word because it's too much for me to say. Swamiji can say, he says quietly. You know, before he was a disturbed idiot, after meditation he becomes silent idiot. Swamiji's own words, okay. And thoughtfully ignorant, not thoughtlessly ignorant. So ignorance continues to be there, isn't it? Before meditation, ignorant. After meditation, ignorant. But what is the difference? Before very disturbed, now silent. Got it. So that is what is he says. Now, how to resolve the mind? How to negate the mind? Negation of mind means what? Understanding mind being non-substantial mithya nama rupa is in fact negation of the mind or resolution of the mind, which is called mano nashaha. How to do that? That is said in the verse number, now from here onwards, 32nd onwards. Atma satyanu bodhena,
Atma satyanu bodhena,
na sankalpayate yada,
na sankalpayate yada.
Amanastantadayati,
Amanastantadayati,
Grahya Bhavetadagraham,
Grahya Bhavetadagraham.
In Mandukya Karika, the words are sound very simple, but quite complicated expressions. We have to understand correctly. Atma Sat
Atma-satyanubodhena,
na-sankalpayate yada, amanastantadayati, grahya-bhavetadagraham, So, in this context, Shankara Bhagavatpada uses this example of rope and snake first. Okay, then we'll read this meaning of this. See, when you want to get rid of the fear caused by this perception of the snake, you cannot destroy the snake. You cannot kill the snake, and you need not kill the snake, but you need to only resolve the snake. And you have to negate the snake. The negation of snake or resolution of the snake is what now? Only through the vision of the rope. So, understanding the rope, the satyam, it only means for you to resolve the mithya snake, non-existent snake, really speaking. So, he says, there's no way. Here also, Atma, how to negate the mind, how to resolve the mind. Atma satya anubodhena. See the first sentence, Atma satya anubodhena. Atma satyam means what? Atma eva satyam. Iti atma satyam. Atma eva satyam means atma alone being the reality. Atma alone is satyam, the reality. Atma alone is satyam. There is nothing else is satyam here. Everything else other than atma is what? No, known by the term anatma is mithya. Therefore, atma satya, so atma being the only reality, secondless reality, anubodaha, bodaha means knowledge. Only through, knowledge means here the vision, through the vision of, the ascertained, clear, doubt-free vision of the atma being the only reality, then everything else becomes what now? Mithya, reality. There comes what? Everything else, including the mind being mithya, non-substantial namarupa, becomes very clear. Only then, and here, that vision, how does that vision happen? Vision of the Atma being the only reality, how does it happen? Yes, Anu. Anubodaha. That vision is that Anup, the prefix Anu is so important here because it stands for Shastram and the Sampradaya. Isn't it? Through one's exposure to the traditional teaching from a competent Sampradaya with the teacher, that what now? With the help of the Shastram as a Pramanam. Isn't it? Shastra Pramanam. Only through the Shastra Pramanam, only with the help of the Shastra Pramanam. Shastra Pramanyam is emphasized by that prefix Anu. Without the Shastra Pramanam, it is not possible for one to arrive at the true fact of Atma being the only non-dual reality. The vision of non-duality of the reality is not possible without the Pramanam. The Anu, the prefix Anu actually emphasizes that. Anubodaha, isn't it? So only through the vision of the Atma being the only secondless non-dual reality, one can negate everything else being understand, arrive at everything else being mithya, and that arriving at everything else being mithya through the vision of the non-dual reality is only through what now? The Pramanam called Shastram Anu. Shastram Anu means Shastram Anu. Only through the Pramanam Shastram. When the person understands. You know, however beautiful your eyes are, however clear your vision is, however clearly you are able to see everything around you, but still you can never, the eyes can never say, I see, the eyes can never see themselves without the mirror. Similarly, you can never arrive at the Swarupa Darshanam, Swarupa Darshanam, without the Shastram mirror. You can never have vision of yourself without the mirror of the Shastram. Therefore, Shastra Pramana Sahayena. Only with the help of the Shastram, you arrive at the Atma being the only non-dual reality. By arriving at the Atma being the only non-dual reality, you understand everything else, including the mind, being mithya. That is how what he says. Only then, the seeing everything else being mithya is what negating the mind. Seeing everything else, including the mind, being mithya, is negating everything else, including the mind, as mithya. This seeing the mithyatvam, thereby seeing the mithyatvam of the duality also. This is how you understand what? The duality. You do not deny the perception of duality. Accept the perception of duality. Perceive the duality, but still you can say what? The duality is mithya. It's typically like saying how enjoying the ornament, wearing the chain on your neck, you say there is no chain at all. There is only gold. You can say, perceiving the duality, you can say what? There is no dvaitam at all. There is only advaitam brahma. There is only non-duality. There is only non-dual reality which is satyam. This duality which is as though is only mithya. And you can say, this is what? This is called, this word now, na sankalpayate yada. See, na sankalpayate. Yada, no, the mind, here, na sankalpayate means does not perceive. Sankalpayate means perceives. Na sankalpayate means what? Does not perceive. What does not perceive? The mind, isn't it? The mind does not perceive. Does not perceive what? Does not perceive. I mean, the mind still perceives. Does not perceive means does not perceive duality anymore. What does it mean? In spite of perceiving the duality, being clear about the fact of duality being mithya is what? Mind not perceiving the duality. Is it clear now? In spite of perceiving the duality, seeing the duality being mithya, being clear about the fact of duality being mithya, is mind not perceiving the duality. I think I made it very clear. When the mind does not perceive duality, then amanastam tadayati, that is when mind becomes the non-mind. Mind becomes the non-mind. Mind becomes what? Destroyed mind. That is when mind becomes negated mind. Mind becomes the resolved mind. Mind becomes non-mind. Amanastam tadayati. Manam appuldan manam inmayai adaigirathu. Manam manam inmayai adaigirathu. Eppadi? Now, attaining, what no? Attaining this mind having the vision, mind enjoying the knowledge, mind being endowed with the vision of the non-dual reality being the only satyam, the entire everything other including the mind being mithya is what? Mind becoming the non-mind. Amanastam tadayati. It's like saying, you're all here, still you can say what? Where am I? You have to say what? Being here, you have to say, where am I? Only everything is Brahma. Which means, or you can say, Aham Brahmasmi, you can say. Others should say what? Is it? Aham Brahmasmi, you can say. Others you can say what now? There's only Brahma. Where am I? Where are you? You are not here, I am not here. Means what? Isn't it? It's all for understanding, I'm saying. Amanastam tadayati. Amanasta. It's called amanasta. Is a noun form. Amanasta means mind becoming, mind enjoying the status of being the non-mind. Is called amanasta. Manaminmei adaidal. Amanastana. See, that's what I'm saying. The Gaudapada Acharya's expressions are a little difficult. We have to understand correctly. When the mind does not perceive duality, not perceiving the duality means what? Not perceiving the duality means, in spite of perceiving the duality, seeing the duality being mithya, it's non-perception of duality. It's like what? Now it's like saying, non-perceiving sunrise. Non-perceiving sunrise and sunset means what? Well, perceiving the sunrise, perceiving the sunset, knowing the fact there's no real sunrise or sunset is what? Not perceiving the sunrise and sunset. Similarly, manaha na sankalpayate yada, when the mind does not perceive duality, then alone mind becomes the non-mind. Mind attains the status of being the non-mind. Is it clear now? So, while perceiving the duality, having the clarity of vision that there is no duality, is mind becoming what? Attaining status of being the non-mind. Is it clear? So, amanastam tada yati. Grahya abhave tad agraham. Grahya abhavaha means what? There is no object of. Grahya abhavaha. There is no world of objects. Grahya abhavaha means what? In the clear vision, there is no objective universe. There is no objective universe means there is no subject, there is no perceiver. Isn't it? Grahya abhave, when this objective universe is negated as mithya, including the mind, then what happens? Then becomes the agraham. Mind becomes the non-perceiver. Mind loses its status of being the perceiver also. Understand? Mind becomes the non-perceiver of the duality, when the world is negated as mithya. Is it clear now? Tad agraham bhavati. Agraham means what? Non-perceiving mind. Non-perceiving mind means what? When there is, mind becomes a non-perceiving mind, when the objective universe is negated. Mithya. Mithya means there is no objective universe. You are perceiving the objective universe, but still you say what? There is no objective universe. How does there is no objective universe means what? There is no objective universe means there is no objective universe is mithya. Mithya means it's as good as non-existent. First see the objective universe as mithya. Then anything mithya is as good as non-existent. Then you have to say what? There is no objective universe. This is called grahya abhavaha. When the objective universe is negated as mithya, thereby as good as non-existent, then mind becomes what? There's no grahya means, how can there be, there's no perceived means, how can there be perceiver? Perceiver also is not that result. Mind becomes the non-perceiver of duality. This is the wise person's mind. Agraham manah. Here I want to tell you one thing. See, there is a difference. Now I want to understand important thing I'm going to tell you here. Here Atma Jnanam, self-knowledge and knowledge of the anything else in the world, mundane, knowledge of the mundane world of mundane objects. Atma Jnanam, Anatma Jnanam, knowledge of the world of mundane world of objects and self-knowledge. What is the difference here? So, when you attain the self-knowledge, you understand self being the only secondless non-dual reality. Through the vision of the self being the only secondless non-dual reality, everything else becomes what? Negated, including the mind, as mithya, which is as good as non-existent, which is called reduction. And okay, reducing everything into mithya is what? Okay, it's called destruction. In what happens here in other jnanam, worldly knowledge or mundane knowledge of the external world of objects, there'll be what? There'll be knower, subject of knowledge, then instrument of knowledge, and the object of knowledge. Pramata, pramanam, prameyam. Prameyam means what? Object of knowledge. Pramanam, instrument of knowledge. Pramata, knower, the subject of knowledge. This division will be there in any knowledge of any object involves this threefold differences. It's called Triputi Bhedaha. The Triputi Bhedaha will be there in knowledge of an object. In Anatmik Jnanam, there will be Triputi Bhedaha. Knower, no, knowledge known. Or you can say subject of knowledge, instrument of knowledge and object of knowledge. Pramata, pramanam, prameyam. These divisions, definitely will be difference. Subject of knowledge is different from the instrument of knowledge and the object of knowledge. Everything else is different from everything else. Therefore, Triputi Bhedaha will be there with reference to Anatma Jnanam. Whereas in Atma Jnanam, all these three differences will resolve. Atma, self-knowledge, no? In self-knowledge, all these three, this will get resolved. Why? Because knower, there is no knower. Knower status is mithya, there is no knower other than Atma. There is no instrument of pramanam other than the Atma. There is no object of knowledge other than the Atma. This is, okay, what is Triputi? How self-knowledge, in self-knowledge, this Triputi Bheda, this difference, subject-object instruments of knowledge, this difference is resolved. That we are going to see actually. Let me tell you, let me explain these two words here. See, mind enjoying this perspective change, you know, this perspective change which happens, you know, on the part of the mind is called what? In fact, mind becoming the non-perceiver of the duality. Mind becoming non-perceiver of the duality implies, while in perceiving the duality, seeing the duality being mithya is non-perceiving the duality. Mind becomes a non-perceiver of duality. Is it clear? It's called agraham. See, literally the word, the graham, because mind is a neuter gender word. Therefore we say agraham, agraha. Now, grinnati means catches, absorbs, holds, perceives. So many words are there. The word graham, not griham, it's a graham. Graham means what? Actually, that which holds, that which absorbs, that which perceives, that which understands is called a graham. So, agraha means that which does not perceive. You can say non-perceiver. Who is non-perceiver? Mind becomes the agraham manaha. Non-perceiving mind. Non-perceiving mind means what now? How can the mind become the non-perceiving? Mind itself meant for perceiving now. Means, mind becoming non-perceiver or non-perceiving mind means, mind mind becoming the non-perceiver of the duality. Mind becoming the non-perceiver of duality means what? Mind seeing the duality, perceiving the duality being mithya, is mind becoming the non-perceiver of the duality. When does the mind become the non-perceiver of the duality, or when does the mind, when does the mind see the duality being mithya? When the mind, when the grahya abhave, when this universe becomes as good as non-existent. When does the universe become as good as non-existent? Living in the very universe, enjoying the universe, experiencing the universe, being part of the universe, you say universe is as good as non-existent. When do we say that? Only when the universe being mithya is understood. Universe being mithya, in the understanding the universe being mithya means what? Seeing the universe being non-substantial nama-rupa. When do you see that? Only when you see this actual substance, the truth, reality, the non-dual reality, through the vision of the non-dual reality. What is that non-dual reality? There is no non-dual reality other than Atma. Seeing the Atma being the only non-dual, secondless non-dual reality, through that vision of non-dual reality, Atma being non-dual reality, how? With the help of the Shastra Pramanam, when you the whole Jagat becomes negated as mithya, including the mind, then mind, in spite of seeing the duality, it sees the duality being mithya, the mind becomes the non-perceiver of the duality. Okay. So, while perceiving the duality, becoming the non-perceiver of duality is called perspective change. Part, no, seeing, you say you do not see. It's called seeing, not seeing. Amazing, isn't it? You see, but you do not see. Kandute kaanalen solradhu. Understand? This is called perspective change. Perceiving, you become, mind becomes the non-perceiver. Seeing, you become the non-seer. Enjoying, you become, you see the mind being non-enjoyer. Understand? It's all like that. Like we all see. We all see the chairs. We all sit in the chairs. We enjoy the chairs. But we say what? There's no chair. This is called agraham. Agraham means what? This is called actually abhava. Grahya abhava. Grahya abhava means there is no seeing the seeing the amarupa being not there. It's called grahya abhava. Seeing the object universe being not there. Seeing the enjoyed chair being not there. Enjoying, you say the enjoyed chair is not there. It's called seeing the universe being not there. It's called grahya abhava. When you say this, the universe being not there means what? It's mithya. It's only, how do you say that there's no chair? Enjoying the chair? Because you have seen the truth, the wood. Through the clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the wood being the truth. You sitting in a very chair, you negate what? You say there's no chair. Is it clear? It's called grahya abhava. Then when you say there's no chair, then you are what? You are non-perceiver of the chair. Not being the non-perceiver of the chair means what? Perceiver of the wood. Perceiver of the wood becomes the non-perceiver of the chair in spite of perceiving the chair, sitting in the chair, enjoying the comfort given by the chair. Similarly here, living in this world, being part of the world, going through, enjoying this world, experiencing, perceiving this world of duality, you know, seeing, having, remaining steadfast in the vision of the truth being Atma. No? Then you say what? There is no universe. Is non-perceiving the universe through the perception of the truth, through the vision of the truth, is what, in fact, becoming the non-perceiver of the universe. How to become the non-perceiver of duality? Becoming the non-perceiver of duality means becoming the non-perceiver of the objective universe including the mind. Becoming the non-perceiver of the objective universe including the mind means remaining steadfast in the vision of the truth. Then you have what? Perspective change. This is called what? Amani bhavaha. Mano nashaha. Om Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.